Well, good evening, everybody. And praise the Lord, huh, for the preaching that's gone forth today. What a blessing to hear God's word. Just seeing that video kind of gets me excited in the things of God, to be able to come forth and read the word of God and to even be able to present some things from the word of God. And looking at this passage of scripture, if you could, I invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 2. And it says in verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay." Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and give thanks for who you are. And I just thank you so much, again, just for the opportunity to come in here and preach the word of God today. As each person that came up here, I learned so much and I heard so much, and many things were taught today. We are truly blessed. We can come to a place here and we can hear the word of God preached. We can hear the teaching of God's word. We can learn of you. And Father, I thank you so much for this book. And Father, I pray that I can be a blessing as these preachers were a blessing to me, and the people here today have been a blessing to me in their service and providing and just all that has gone on for this Nehemiah 8th conference. And Lord, we love you and thank you and praise you for all things. In the precious name of Jesus, for his sake we do ask it. Amen. Well, today I'm excited to be in the Gospel of Mark, because we know that when we look at the Gospels, each of the Gospels looks at Jesus Christ in a different light. And the thing that I really appreciate about the Gospel of Mark is it looks at him as a servant. It looks at him as a servant, and what you see is Jesus Christ serving. You see Jesus Christ, he says, "I came not to be ministered to, but to be a minister." And with that, we can learn quite a bit. What an example Jesus Christ is for us, that we are to serve. We are here not to be served. We are here to serve. And praise the Lord that we get the opportunity to come up and get an opportunity to have a gift that God has provided to us. And we can use that gift because he works through us and allows us to go forward and serve others. And I have to tell you something, in looking at this passage of Scripture, I find a lot. As a matter of fact, I titled this message, I called it "The Faithful Forgiving Physician." The Faithful Forgiving Physician. I'll tell you one thing right now, God is faithful. I know that I'm not faithful, you're not faithful, but God is faithful. You see, I can't rely on men. I can't have confidence in the flesh, but I can have confidence in the Word of God. I can have confidence in Jesus Christ, and I can have confidence in the things that God has provided through his Word. Amen? And I take a look at this, and the first thing I see, I'm going to be very practical tonight, because there's been so much, there's been just an avalanche of truth that has come forth in so many verses and passages of Scripture that has been just a true blessing for me. So I'll be very practical. And I want to start out in the very first verse. It says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." Now, I just want to stop there for a moment and just say this. Jesus Christ obviously left an impression on people. You know what? In Capernaum, it was said that when they heard his doctrine, when they heard his teaching, they were astonished at the doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. You know, it's him that he could come in and he could cast out the unclean spirit. This was in Capernaum. He made and he left a great impression. He healed many in Capernaum. And he comes back to Capernaum. And you know what? He left a great impression in Capernaum. Notice in all the things that he's doing here, he's teaching in the synagogue, he's healing, he's casting out devils and unclean spirits, all those things, serving. And you know what? He left an imprint. He left an impression on the people, so much as so in verse 2 it says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them." You see, he left such an impression on the people that there was no room. They heard that he was coming. It was noise that he was coming into town. It was noise that he was going to be in this house. And they all packed into the house. Let me ask you a question. What kind of impression do you leave? And you know what? I'm not even so much talking about the world. What kind of impression do you leave on the spiritual realm? Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? What are you doing today? What is it that you do that leaves an impression on people? Leaves an impression on the world? Leaves an impression on the saved people that you come before each and every day? And if not every day, on Sunday or on Wednesday night. What kind of impression do you leave? Do you show them that you love the Lord? The Bible teaches us, if a man love God, the same is what? Known of him. Do they know you love God? Does the world know you love God? How about in your workplace? Many of you folks, I'm sure you all work. Do people know you're a Christian? Huh? They come up, they know you're a Christian? Or do they say, "You're a Christian? I never knew." You want to hear that? We can spend all day on that. Want to talk about an impression? That's the wrong impression. Hey, they may not like what you say. They might not like what you're preaching and teaching. But I'll tell you something. They know where you stand. It leaves a mark. It leaves an impression. What kind of impression do you leave? You know, Paul was always speaking about conversation, conscience. Your conversation. That's your speech and what you do. You know what he always said? His conscience. Conscience clean. A clear conscience. Let me ask you a question. When you go to bed at night, do you have a clear conscience before God? You know, we care more about the way we appear in front of others than we do before God. We can care about the way we look, the way we appear, the way we sound. We just want to impress. How do you feel before God? What impression do you leave on the Lord? Well, could he say to you, "Well done tonight when you leave"? Well, maybe tonight you can, because see, there's so much light in here. But how about when you're out in the dark? When you're out in the lost world? Are you a light? Do you push out the darkness? Or are you just a little flicker? I don't know. Many of folk go to bed at night and they don't even feel the way they ought to feel at the end of the day. You ought to be asking God for forgiveness, mercy. Sometimes even in our own teaching, we can be heady and high-minded, trying to impress others with what we know. And in reality, God doesn't have you to do that. He just has you to preach the word. I don't claim to be a scholar. That's for sure. But I do want to bring forth God's word, and I want to see people's lives change just like he changed my life. I got saved when I was 29 years old, and what a mess before that. And Jesus Christ left an impression on me. I couldn't believe what he did for me. You want to talk about being afraid of death? I was very familiar with death. At a very young age, it scared the death out of me. I had no idea. Nobody could answer the question. What happens when you die? I'll never forget when I saw absent from the body in the presence of the Lord, where it is what? Better? No, far better. Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It changed my life in many ways. I didn't say sinless. I just said it changed. Things changed. And this is something that we are looking at in this passage of Scripture. He packed the house, but that's not all. He didn't only leave an impression. He also brought forth the Word of God, proclamation. Look what it says in verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. Speaking of the door, he's the door, amen? And then it goes on, it says, and he preached the word unto them. You know what? He had a gathering, a party, if you will. You can call it that, I suppose. A whole bunch of people in the house. And you want to know what he did? He didn't talk about the politics in life. He didn't talk, make jokes and all these other things. He just preached the word of God. And you want to know what we call the church? Many people call it the house of God. Let me ask you a question. What are we doing in the house of God? Are we preaching the word of God? You know, sometimes there's some churches, I guess, that they just kind of talk a little bit and say a joke and tell a story, and that's the end of it, when we're supposed to preach the word. And we wonder why people aren't enduring sound doctrine. We need to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Look at the living word preaching the written word. He preached the word, not tradition, not religion, no story time. He just preached the word. He had all the people there, could have done anything, and he preached the word of God. When was the last time you preached the word of God at a family party? I mean, we can all preach the word of God from this pulpit, but shouldn't the world be our pulpit? When was the last time we preached the word at a Dunkin' Donuts? When was the last time we preached the word out in the street? When was the last time? And then we say, why isn't anybody getting saved? Well, the saved are hearing the word of God. And that's good, and we should. But we need to get the word out. Let's start with a good impression. You begin to give them the word of God. You know what one preacher once said? God had one son, and he was a preacher. Amen. You preach the word of God, you ought to be very thankful. You ought to praise God for it. Jesus Christ preached. You know what we've been given? I know one ministry we all have. Some people say, I'm not sure what my ministry is. I don't know what my ministry is. I'm not sure what God has for me. I know one. He says, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? And we have the words of reconciliation. And we need to go forth and tell people about Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, in looking at this passage of Scripture, it's a beautiful picture of somebody coming to Christ. He preached the word. We ought to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. We ought to have a fistful of tracts. We ought to have the word of God. We ought to have it in our mouths. Our mouths filled with the oracles of God. Look at the very next verse. I like this. In verse 3 it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. Born of four. Now I want you to understand something. He says, one sick of the palsy. One sick of the palsy. He says it another time when you drop down just a little bit. In verse 5. And he said unto the sick of the palsy. There's a reason for it, and I'll just give it to you in a moment, at least in type, and a beautiful picture. And I understand the things in the miracles, and the miracles are a beautiful thing. But I see a lot of times and many times in these miracles, it's a beautiful picture of somebody coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It says one that was sick of palsy, but it says he was born of four. That's something. You see, this person had four pretty good friends. He had four friends that, I don't know, maybe the Lord healed them. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't say. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe they heard, and so they just made their way over, and they knew that they needed to get their friend to the great physician. He left an impression on them, enough is so, to take and carry a friend that took four people to do it, to come to Christ. I like that too, born of four. There's four Gospels. Yeah? Four, amen, amen? I'll amen myself. You want amen? I'll amen myself. There are four Gospels. And the Bible teaches us over in Hebrews, we know that the New Testament comes out when the testator is dead, so we get to the end of that, and we start to see that. And with that, you know something? I was born of four. 22 years ago, I was born of four. Amen? Yeah, how about this? Even with the gospel message over in 1 Corinthians, it speaks of the gospel message by which ye are saved, lest ye believed in vain, that Christ died, one, for our sins, two, and that he was buried, three, and he rose again, according to the scriptures, four, born of four. I believe all four of those. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe he died for my sins. I believe, according to the what? Scriptures. And you know what? I got saved. Now, I had a worldly hangover after I got saved, just like most of you did. But God started to clean some things up on me from the inside out. I'm glad. If you think I'm bad now, you should have seen me then. I want to talk about a mess. What a mess. I'll tell you right now, I was sick of the palsy. It was one sick. Now, I want to show you one other thing. There's the obstacles. Now, these men were good friends. They were willing to take this guy, bring him before Jesus Christ, but there were many obstacles. Yes. There were many obstacles, and these are the obstacles that you and I will face if we want to try and lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we want to lower them down to the foot of Jesus Christ and see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The first one, palsy. Sick of the palsy. See, he had a sickness. Now, every single one of us, we have a sin sickness. And notice, he was paralyzed. He couldn't move. They had to carry him. Let me tell you something right now. Never underestimate the power of sin. Sin will prevent people from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible even teaches that. And you have to be careful, and you have to realize that there are people that have a sin sickness, and the deathbed's a calling. One obstacle, he had the inability to move. You notice too, it was four. It was four. You know what? Sometimes it takes more than just one person to lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, one man watereth, another man planteth, God giveth the increase. You know, sometimes you have to call in for some reinforcements. Some people, they're hard. They can't look past their sins. They're blinded. And you can't do it on your own, that's for sure. You need Jesus Christ working through you. And you may need some other godly men, godly women, to bring that person, to carry him to the bloodstained cross. The palsy. Sin is strong. and it'll prevent people from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How about another one, the press? That's the people. I'll tell you right now, people will get in the way of you bringing somebody that you know to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That'll happen to you. That happens all the time. And yet that some good close friend, I'll tell you right now, I had a couple of those good close friends. I remember one time I was witness to, and there were some of my friends, and they were poking fun at the person who was witnessing to me. You know what they did? They were the press. They prevented me from coming. They got in the way. See, they influenced me. I'll never forget one time I was witnessing to somebody, and the friend was there. It was out in the street. And I was witnessing somebody, and the friend said, "We got to go. Come on, we got to get going. We got to get out of here." I'm like, "Why are you in such a rush?" And his friend was right there just listening. Talking to him about sin, telling him about Jesus Christ. He's listening to it. This kid is just pulling him and tugging him and wanting him to leave. And you know what that kid did? He came right there and then. He said, "Listen, I'm not going to pay attention to you. I'm listening to him." And that young man came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, that happened one time. Now, another time, I was preaching to somebody. I was telling them the word. I was teaching them the word of God. I was showing them that they were sinners and they needed to be saved. And this was in a setting where about 10 or 12 young folks, probably 15, 16 years old. And these young folks came, three of them came in a little later. And they're sitting back there, and I can see the one in the middle was listening, and the two on the side didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I asked people, I said, "If anybody here wants to come and get saved, raise your hand." They raised their hand. They ducked their heads. I started to pray with them. And what ends up happening is this kid, he's getting pulled and tugged like this, and I looked up, and I said to him, I said, "Why are you listening to them? Why are you letting them distract you?" And he looked at me and he goes, "I don't know." And I said to him, I says, "Can I ask you a question, just a serious question? Would either of these guys die for you?" And he says, "Die for me? These guys wouldn't even stick up for me." I said, "You're gonna base eternity on these two?" That didn't work out as well as the time out in the street, at least as far as I know. The press. I've seen people, they're trying to help the preacher. I get a kick out of this, and they're the press. You see, the preacher's preaching a message, and they're sitting, they're over there in the pew, and they're trying to talk to them. They're trying to preach their own message to the person they invited. Why don't you allow the man who has the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, who has studied over and with tears over the Word of God, and put the message together that God had given to them to give to that individual that's there on that day? Get out of the way. The press. There's the obstacles. There's the palsy. There's the press. How about the petitions, the partitions, the roof, the uncovering? You know, I like that video just because it did show them uncovering that roof, you know, and doing that uncovering. And I kind of have my own little, in my own mind, a modern terminology, a modern way of looking at it. And I could see just some, you know, some guys carrying that person, and the Lord's preaching, and he's preaching the word, and he's preaching hard, preaching strong, and all of a sudden you kink, 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 da 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 da, you know, and they start opening that thing up, and all of a sudden it's like, and they, you know, letting the guy down, right? And you want to know something? It's kind of a neat thing. Listen, think of the illustration. I'll make you to become fishers of men. You see that thing? Lowering down. It's like ice fishing. You know, you pick at the ice and you go and right down and right there before the Lord. Can you imagine, though, that whole scene? I mean, think about it. The obstacle, the obstructions, what was going on, that roof. And all I can think of with this is I think of the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Jesus Christ, should shine unto them. And all I can think of is you going, kink, 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 kink. Like the devil's the fingers, the hands over the eyes, and just going, you're just going, kink, 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 with the word of God, with the word of God, piercing, 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 getting through those iron bones of behemoth to open their eyes and see him come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, we don't like to go and do the work. See, you know what these men, they were wise as serpents and harmless as doves. See, they just said, oh, there's the press? Well, we're going to take another route. Oh, there's the roof? We're just going to take it off. And you know what? We're just going to lower them down. And right there before the Lord. And you know, I find this to be amazing. Can you imagine? Everybody there must have looked at those guys and said, you guys are a bunch of kooks. You're a bunch of fanatics. You four are crazy. You don't know what you're doing. Do you realize we're here listening to a sermon here? You guys are crazy and cuckoo. Right? You know what, though? The Lord's observation was a lot different. He looked up there and he saw their faith. See, the world will think you're crazy. The world, the gospel message, foolishness unto them. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have the power from the Word of God and by God's grace and by the Holy Spirit of God to bring forth the gospel message. And the devil doesn't want it going out. It says, the God of this world that blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest, for fear that, the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. Let me ask you a question. You know some people who are sick of palsy? Sick of the palsy. 22 years ago, I got sick of that sin. I got sick of just doing everything wrong. And when I heard there was only one who did right, And I'm telling you right now, the one and true, righteous, one and holy God, and the gospel message came forth, and I got saved. I don't know about you, but that was an amazing time for me. And I'm so thankful. You know, you don't hear too many people say, gee, I wish I never got saved. You see? And I'll tell you right now, I'm so glad that I got saved. Even my wife says, you're a lot smarter now since you got saved. See, so it was really bad. I mean, if this is smarter. It was really bad. You know what the Bible says? The heart is wax gross. But you know what? We need the sword of the Lord. We need to pierce. I love that verse. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. That book knows us better than we do. When I was listening to these messages today, the very first message, I kept on thinking of this with respect to the hem of the garment, and it wasn't the garment, right? All I could think of is there's quite a difference between thronging and touching, isn't there? You see, many throng, but there was one who came with the right touch. How about the distractions that we have? Are you willing to come to a place where you will take somebody, and even though they're resisting, that you're willing to carry them? to Jesus Christ? See, that's work. That's work. You're a servant, and you're to serve. You should do that and have a desire to do that and a want to do that and love to do that in spite of what anybody thinks. Gee, you're a fanatic. Big deal. I've been called a lot worse. Jesus freak. Okay. So what? What's the hey, they're either going to call you a hypocrite or they're going to call you a fanatic. Or they won't even know. Say, I never knew. It's true, you know what? I've heard preachers say this one time. Sometimes you have to be backslidden to fellowship with some Christians. They're so backslidden. You know what I mean? Are you willing to face the press, find an alternate route to see the person get saved? Are you willing to make a fool out of yourself? You know what? The person who led me to the Lord, they risk friendship. They risk me not talking with them again, thinking they're a fanatic, not spending time with them. But you know what? They did it anyway. Are you willing to break the petition? Are you willing to fight a good fight? Are you willing to keep the faith? We should. Bible says to endure hardness as a good soldier, Lord Jesus Christ. Are you entangled with the affairs of this life? Or do you want to please him with chosen you to be a soldier? Do you have the faith of a farmer? The observation was clear. The public opinion was this was radical, cuckoo, probably crazy. This is a cult. But the preacher thought differently. Let's take a look. I'll just read it to you. I already told you. In verse 4, and when they come down nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Yeah. You know what that heart is? It's deceitful, desperately wicked. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Yep, that's right. That's right. It's exactly right. And you're looking at him. God the Son. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Oh, I love that. I love that, you know, I can just see them. They just think that they're so smart. And in their heart, they're just like, listen to him. Who does he think he is? And then he just calls them out. Imagine if we had some kind of a chip that, you know, there's all this technology. I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, how do you work this thing? And then I'm not very good with, the Bible says that man goeth to inventions in Ecclesiastes. But imagine if you have that, like some kind of a chip or something that we could actually zero in on your thoughts. All you good godly people, how would you like to see what you were thinking at that moment? Right? Amen? Of what I'm thinking, what you're thinking, while somebody's preaching and proclaiming the word of God. gee, when is this going to be over so I can have some dinner? When, you know, all these different thoughts. Or what's he talking about? Who is he to say this to me and tell me that I'm supposed to be a sir? And so on and so forth. It was just kind of flashed up and it had your name next to it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. You know, he looked at this thing and they're talking like they are. The scribes. No wonder why they didn't have authority. They didn't speak with authority. Look where their heart was. Who's on the throne of your heart today? Is it you? Or is it Jesus Christ? Look what he says here. And immediately when Jesus perceived, verse 8, in his spirit, that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, it didn't take any time, immediately, he didn't have to say certain things 10, 12 times. He didn't have to do anything. Immediately, he arose. See, there's a spiritual resurrection. You are quickened. You came alive. Your spirit came alive. Ephesians chapter 2. But that's not all. And immediately he rose. Look at this. Begins to work. Took up the bed. You know what he did? The very thing that he was laying in and he was stuck in and he couldn't get out of. He was no longer bound to it. Amen, amen. That's it. Sin. Yeah, listen, you may sin, but you do not have to allow sin to rule and reign over you. You say, will you sin? Yes. But we have an advocate. We have an advocate. You know, go over to 1 John for just a second. You keep your finger in Mark 2. I haven't gotten out of Mark 2, but go over to 1 John just for a moment. 1 John. And I want you to just see in chapter 2, verse 1. I like this verse. And it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, comma, no, sir. Sin not, period. Now watch, and it goes, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, you sin, yes, but you know what? You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to get in the fight. You're going to have to ask God. You know what you're going to have to do in confessing your sins? He speaks of that. If you confess your sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we see that in the verses up above. But yet, we have to realize that, you know what? You do not have to sin. There isn't a sin you have to commit by midnight tonight. Amen? You know what? You got to get a hatred for the sin. You need to ask God to give you the hatred and to repent and turn and move forward and go and press for the mark, for the high calling. You say, but I keep getting in. I keep getting in. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Ask God to give you the strength. What does Paul say over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Be strong, my son, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he goes into dealing with, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men, shall be able to teach others also. And dealing with teaching others to teach others to teach others to teach others. And he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure. Endure. Let's go back over to our text. And Back over to Mark 2. And then in verse 11, he says, "And I say unto thee." You know what? That's personal. It was the Lord and that man with the sickness. You know what? When I got saved and you got saved, He is your personal Lord and Savior. And immediately, I love it. And immediately he arose, verse 12. He took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." You know what he's showing? I find this with respect to the miracles. He's showing that he's God, and he's showing that he has power over the physical realm. That he could do something that no one else could do. Your salvation is something he can do and no one else can do. What a humbling experience. This man was lowered down by four men in front of a whole bunch of people. And you know what I found to be most interesting is he said he didn't see that man's faith. He saw their faith. Now I can go into the healing thing and everything else, but I want to go here. The person that you know that's sick of the palsy, maybe it's not them that won't come to Christ. Maybe they have that little bit of faith, but maybe you're lacking faith. Maybe he sees your faith. Where's your faith that he can save? Why is it that we put boundaries on what God can do? Oh, too intelligent. Oh, too rich. Oh, too this. Oh, too that. Someday, it'll be, oh, too late. You know, it was David who said, "There's but one step between me and death." We're not guaranteed another day. If you're not saved, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let tonight be the night. Nehemiah conference, the 8th conference. Let tonight be a night where there's rejoicing in heaven over your soul that repented. And if you are saved, let tonight be a night of renewal. Let it be a revival. Listen to all these folks who are preaching today. They have been saved for years and studying the Word of God for years and witnessing to people. And what you know what we would all love to see? Somebody come on up and get saved. Maybe some of us who are saved need to come up. Jesus Christ made a great impression. He impressed people enough that he packed the house. You have Christ in you. What kind of impression are you leaving? Do you speak the oracles of God? Are you willing to face the obstacles to see someone come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? What's your observation of yourself? We were talking about the miracles and the mirror. Are you a doer of the Word? Do you behold your natural face in a glass, but you go with your own way and not God's way? It's interesting. I can almost see myself over here. There's the mirror. I'm preaching to myself. It's not just to you. I'm not looking through my nose at anybody. You know what? Just turn around the corner and you can get involved in something you ought not to. I pray this day, like it had the impact it had on me today. I'm telling you, I got so much out of today. It was great being in the front row. I felt like everybody was preaching right at, which is good. That's good. And I'm thankful. And I pray that the things that I've heard today, that I'll take them outside those doors. I won't leave it right here in the pew. I hope you do the same. May God bless you richly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've given us. Thank you for this night and this time together. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for Pastor Tim. And I want to thank him for having me here. And Lord, I thank you for each person here. I pray that you strengthen us, Lord, and help us to be who you'd have us to be. Help us to do what we can't do ourselves. We need your power, your strength. Lord, I pray for the folks here that this day will be something that will help them in building a stronger foundation and living a stronger Christian life. I pray that if anybody has never come and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today will be that day. And Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. For his sake we do ask it. Amen.